Welcome to News Burp, the show that trolls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and him over there is Adam.
Hello.
And this is episode number 275.
Nice.
And this week, I have stories about the cost of beheading your wife is just 8 cows, being tired is an emergency situation, and could ivermectin-soaked tampons cure your COVID?
Probably not. I have someone has been sent a huge bag of dicks. I thought you'd like that. And what is the strange image on Toblerone?
Yeah. Ooh, two stories that have my interest. Well done.
No, you're mostly. I just bore the crap out of you. I'm doing well this week.
Obviously. I'll get one of those Elon Musk robots for their boring and repetitive jobs, and just sit them here when I finish talking.
Just get a cardboard cutout. Right, here's Adam's stories. Okay. It's like this day in history all over again.
No, that's not fair. You do perfectly fine stories, Adam.
I'm going to pat me on the head and say, good man. Good lad. Thanks for doing all the tech work on the show.
This is, not only do you do all the technical content, because you do all the technical, because I just throw it at you and go, do this, and then you make it happen. But your stories are always so good that I instantly forget them when I'm putting the headings on the website. But it's not that your stories are shit, it's because mine are written down in front of me. Yeah. That's the only reason I remember them. I don't remember anything after we've done it.
Not me either.
But I'm going to take note of your stories one is about chocolate.
you just flick through YouTube, you'll see the picture come up.
That means I have to watch it back.
No, you don't have to watch the whole thing. Just flick through. I put the image up when the story comes up.
It still means I have to do some form of watching it back.
All right.
So chocolate. And what was your other one? See, I've forgotten already. And it was like 90 seconds ago.
It's a bag of dicks.
Bag of dicks. Chocolate and dicks. Yeah, I'm sure I'll remember what that means later on.
What are you writing that down? Fiona comes walking in. Is this a Christmas list? Yeah, sure.
Just throwing some things together for the old shopping trip to Aldi later on.
Dicks. Where can I get dicks? Excuse me, do you work here? I do. Dicks. I beg your pardon? Look for dicks, apparently.
I'm just looking. Some might say, cruising route for dicks.
Wrong shop, sir. Very good. Do you know where I should go? Just hit the corner. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Around the back by the dumpster, Vivaldi. That's where you cruise for dicks.
Just say, ah.
Yeah. Imagine if straight hookups were as easily sought out as gay hookups. Because I know a few gay people.
Yeah.
I'm very cosmopolitan, me. And I know at least two gay people in real life.
Oh, you're so with it.
I know. Met a black person yesterday.
That just sounds... it just sounds weird. It sounds like you actually went out looking. I was like, what kind of people I meet today? Oh, hello, Mr. Black person.
Right. Well, there was two birds with one stone. I went cruising for dicks and black people, and I found just one guy had everything in one package. It was like big black dick.
Yeah.
But imagine if it was as easy as a straight person as a gay person to go out and just get sex,
I wonder if that comes from kind of gay culture. That's it. That sounds like the wrong phrase. But when gay started, find their own kind of...
When gays started.
that's not the end of the sentence.
When they started... 1974, back when the gays started.
When they started, having their own kind of clubs and their own kind of communities. Mm-hmm. Of course, it would have been a small kind of group. I guess it was kind of like, because everyone was like, we're all gay here. And I'm sure it was easier to kind of hook up then.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Freemasons, except less anal sex.
I wouldn't know. But I'm guessing not that much less.
I don't know. We had this conversation before. It's all cloaks and soggy biscuits and cum.
See, when I think of the Freemasons, I just think of the Wolf of Wall Street. And just like...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, bowling midgets or using midgets for darts and having naked marching bands, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what I see is like solving a world problem and then just getting all these people in.
Yeah. Oh, I met a real life little person as well a
Did
few
you?
Weeks ago. Yeah. It was in a restaurant in Dublin doing a video for Pandemic Pantry. And the social media creative lead was an actual little person. I don't know if midget is offensive or
it
dwarf.
Is.
I don't
it
know. Is. Is it? It is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't use midget.
Okay. Good. Because I definitely didn't mutter midget under my breath when I got there and she hadn't anything ready for me.
I bet you Jesus did. But see your dinner and you said,
I actually said to myself, oh my God, it's a real one.
Oh, God.
Yeah, look, this last few months has been very eye-opening for me, you know. I know two gay people. I met a black person yesterday, and then a little person in the mix as well, you know. Like, I don't know, what's next?
I seen a little person walking, but they were so little. Like little arms, little legs, and everyone was just kind of small, but kind of a kind of this body. But she was wearing a dress, and she just kind of looked like she was wearing a pillowcase, like, and had a head on it. And of course, I just went, huh. But I found it funny.
Was it a child?
Huh?
Was it a child?
No, it was definitely a small person. But if you've seen Beauty and the Beast, the live musical, and there's a character that plays Carpet, and it's someone in a carpet suit. Or a rug. Is it? Or is it?
Is that not?
Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Aladdin. Yeah. And, but it kind of looked like that, except with a head on top. I was like, oh my God, it's like a pillow with a head.
Well,
it was mad.
To be honest with you, Halloween is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in a month-ish or so. And when I was growing up, and you probably did the same thing, is that your Halloween costume was a black bag.
Yeah.
A big black rubbish bag with arms and a head hole cut out.
Yeah.
And then a mask from whatever shop that sold masks that week.
Yes.
So I think if I was a little person, that's what I'd do. I'd just fashion a pillowcase. How cheap would it be to be a little person? Because you don't need all that much food because you're only a little person. You can dress yourself in pillowcases because you're just a little person.
Yeah.
You know. But I didn't hurl any slurs at this particular little person because she was lovely. But because she annoyed me because she said she'd have everything ready when I got there, and when I turned up, she was like, oh, I forgot to tell people you were coming. So I kept sending her up and down the stairs just so I could see her go up and down the stairs.
Oh.
And coming up was a lot more hilarious than going down.
Jesus. I think she probably would have, like, if you gave her like a dirty slur, she probably would have like preferred that more than sending her up and down the stairs.
Well,
or
I mean,
hot drinks, I'm sure.
Look, she was wearing a Fitbit, so if anything, I was helping her get her steps up. And because she's a little person, you know, she has to do, you know, like one trip is like double the amount of steps.
I suppose so, yeah.
You know, so entertainment and healthy living.
I don't think it's supposed to be entertaining. Because you're going to go, that's gas.
It was.
How do you get work done here?
It was for me. I was in a weight management clinic before COVID.
Yeah.
And you have to go in and you have to get like physio done and you have to get like psychology done and test results and all this kind of stuff you get done. But the physio is where they take it around the building and they go, okay, so you're going to have to go up and down the stairs a few times. And I'm like, not a problem. Half my restaurant that I've worked in, I have always been on multiple levels and have loads of stairs. I got this shit.
Yeah.
And I'd be flying up and down the stairs. And they'd be like, wow, nobody ever does it that quick. Now, I wanted to bear in mind that I was always the smallest person in this weight management clinic. And I'm not saying that as like some sort of like flex. This is like, I don't need to be here. I wanted to be there. But what I'm saying is the majority of people that you see going into the clinic were unfortunately so big that they could barely walk.
Right.
Never mind get up and down stairs. So it would take them 30 seconds to take a step.
Yeah.
You know, most of these people, by nature of their condition, had moved into apartments that had lifts in the building or bungalows or something like that. They just didn't do stairs anymore. And that was equally as hilarious to watch them going up and down the stairs. So really, if you can make it up and down the stairs, you're in the sweet spot of life. That's what I've concluded, is that if you're too little, you're going to have trouble with the stairs. And if you're too large, you're going to have trouble with the stairs. Just keep yourself in that little sweet spot right there.
The sweet spot's pretty big, in fairness. It's not just that tiny little, like, that's your sweet spot. I mean, the sweet spot is like, it's massive. It's a big area that encapsulates a lot of people. Just like, if you've got tiny legs, or if you can't see your toes, stairs are going to be an obstacle for you.
Yeah. But, yeah, they had massive chairs in this place. I think I told you before. Like you're talking, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out, like, how many, like, kilos, like, some people just, like, I'm guessing would be, you know.
Yeah.
But there was one individual, and she must have been at least, like, 45 stone. Now, there's 6.5 kilos in a stone, so work that out.
Yeah,
close to 300 kilos. 270? Yeah, I don't know what that is in pounds.
I know, like, 210?
It's something crazy. Yeah. But, you know, that's why they were there. They're obviously there to, you know, change it and turn their life around, all that kind of stuff. But, like, the chairs were, like, as big as, like, a couch. And they were for one person. And you walk in to get weighed, because they weigh you every time you go in, obviously, to track your progress. And it's a cattle scales they have, because regular scales obviously wouldn't cut it.
God.
You know, so it's like it's from like a veterinary's office or a farm or somewhere. It was just like, there you go, stand on that. And I'm like, I don't know. Because like I'm sitting in the giant chairs, and you could have put me and you in that chair.
Jesus.
Like, I could have sat there and you could have sat beside me, and we still would have had room, would have had more room than on a Ryanair flight, put it that way. But yeah, just keep yourself in the sweet spot. That's all I'm trying to say, you know.
All right,
and try not to make, you know, little sound effects in your noise in your head when you're seeing these people walk around.
Ah, you know? Like tuba noises.
Tuba noises works with both the little people and the big people.
Yeah,
it's a universal thing. It's a very inclusive instrument.
Oh God. Yeah, that's in my head.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I've been talking for at least 6 minutes now, and I haven't made a single point.
Well, I guess that's a great segue into our first section, weekly right, little updates.
Do it.
News.
That's it. That's all we need. Okay, Adam, you're married.
Yes.
Yep. Now, imagine for a second that you got in a row with Tina. I don't know, like, where the remote control is, or who keeps putting the empty carton back in the fridge, or something ridiculous like that.
Okay.
Like. And then you chop her head off.
Oh, God. Okay.
Right. Now, I know we've gone from 0 to 60 quite quick there, but let's just imagine the scenario.
Over a milk carton. Fucking milk carton. Get my knife.
Or maybe you were doing something considerate, like cleaning up the kitchen after breakfast, and accidentally threw out a mug that had like a mouthful of tea left in it.
Yeah.
And then you chopped her head off.
Okay.
Right. So what do you think the punishment for chopping off your wife's head should be?
Fuck. Prison time, anyway. A lot of time in prison. And psychiatric help.
Well, what? So you mean time in prison and psychiatric help?
I think so.
I think it'd be one or the other. I think if you plead insanity, then you would get your psychiatric help, but it would be in a secure mental facility.
Well, either way, you're a danger to society.
Well, you're a danger to people that put empty milk cartons back in their fridge. Not like society.
Yeah, you're a danger to people you marry.
That's all, yeah. Just the people they married. And there's only one of them at a time, usually.
Usually. But there's people out there.
It's just, look, unless you're like, who are those people? Quakers?
Quakers? Mormons?
Mormons, Quakers. Who's the ones that have all the sister wives?
Polygamists.
Who's them ones?
Oh, Leitrim?
Yeah, Leitrim. So unless you're from Leitrim, you know, this really shouldn't be a massive thing. But anyway, leads me into my first story. The brutal killing of a 43-year-old woman by her 53-year-old husband in somewhere. I didn't read the story. Hang on.
Hang on.
There's so many words here I can't pronounce.
Just reading. I'm it up anyway.
Look, it's a very, very long story, right, which I haven't read. But the headline is... Family of man who beheaded wife ordered to pay 8 cows.
So that's his punishment, is 8 cows.
8 cows. Now, depending on your stance as a man, you could read into that. So he has to pay 8 with the women.
oh, that is mad.
Yeah, it's also hilarious. And the closer for my new stand-up show.
That's your last joke.
Good night, everybody.
I'd pay 8 cows, although I don't know where he's going to get 8 of the women. Oh, good night, boo. Thank you. My DVD is outside.
Get the Blu-ray for behind the scenes of me writing that joke. New details have emerged regarding the brutal killing of a 43-year-old woman by her 53-year-old jilted husband on Monday in Lira City. The family of Dennis Alal, the offender, has now been ordered to pay 8 cows as compensation to the wife's household. This will be done after 2 months when the tempers have cooled down. Yeah, you know, because you need some time to come to terms with... Well, in fairness, you need some time to come to terms with the fact that now you have to pay out 8 cows.
But
you need to let everybody get accustomed to the situation first.
Right, it really is. It's like, everyone's kind of like... It's like, okay, 2 months have passed or whatever it is. I say, no, explain what happened. Look, she's taken up all the space on the Sky Plus, and I can't record my programs. And now I've missed half the series of Taskmaster, okay? Because of clashes with other things. And your family going to go, God, that is annoying. I tell you what, leave it at 4 cows, and we'll leave it there. Cooling down period. Fucking hell.
I tell you what, how about a small cow, a goat, and a pair of budgies?
Yeah. And can I borrow your ladder? Oh, the ladder. Oh. Will I get it back? You'll get it back. You'll get it back.
You get it back eventually.
But we decide when. I mean, you didn't kill our little baba. We decide when you get the ladder back.
I remember we had neighbours growing up, and they borrowed a ladder off my dad, like literally like next door. Like it was like, you know, semi-detached house. The one that was right next door to it, like attached to our house, we loaned a ladder to, right? I don't know why we had a ladder, because my dad never did any work around the house or anything. But
you always need a ladder.
We had a ladder. We lent it out. And then he went to go use the ladder, I think like a year later, and was like, where's the ladder? Oh yeah, I lent it to your man. So I went to next door, was like, can I get my ladder back? And he's like, I don't have your ladder anymore. He's like, why? Sold it.
Jesus.
What do you mean you sold my ladder? Well, you didn't come looking for it, so I didn't think you wanted it back. And I was finished using it, so sold it. My dad was like, Graham, well, take the money and I'll go buy a new one then. He's like, no, my money. I sold it.
Yeah, I sold my ladder. You sold my ladder. Yeah. I sold it.
Yeah. It became a whole thing. Although, in fairness to my dad, he got quite clever, because then they agreed, like, some time passed after that, and then they agreed to build, like, a wall down the centre of the two gardens.
Yes.
And your man was like, oh, I can get the bricks for, like, cheap, because I know a guy in the local place, and I know a builder, so, you know, I'll look after all of that. I mean, I was like, grand, you go ahead and look after all of that, and I'll sort you out later on.
Yeah, that's, you know, so okay, money for the wall. Find money for the ladder. Touché.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Your man came knocking, like, as soon as the last brick went up and the builder had to be paid, your man locked the door and went, so we have to pay you, man. My dad went, we? You can take it out of the ladder money you owe me. And
yeah, I didn't want to walk.
What are you going to do? You going to tear it down now? Well, there you are. Okay. The two-month period expires in late November. The resolution was reached during Tuesday reconciliation meeting between the Arak on Goda clan leaders, where Christine Akello was a member, and Oki, they're doing this on purpose, and Oki Burra clan, the husband clan. Mr. Patrick Abal, the Arak on Lola clan chief, confirmed the development. According to tradition, 8 cows would be enough for such compensation.
Mental.
Mr. Abal said the two clans also agreed that the couple's orphaned 5 children take care of their parents' property. So it's like, oh, you're an orphan now? Well, no, you gotta fucking maintain the house and the farm there, yeah?
Yeah, see, that's not really clear from the headline. The headline says, like, 8 cows, and it's like, we're done. But it's like, yeah. No, we're taking the kids as well, they're gonna work the farm. Like, they're gonna be employees. It's like, that's a little bit left out there. I mean, they're taking a lot.
Yeah.
Taking the kids.
I'm just trying to find like the main part of the story. He said the family resolved that the couple would be buried at their respective ancestral homes. So hang on, but I'm like, there must be, like, the story's not very clear at all. Monitor.co.ug. No. This is fucking Uganda news. Why am I looking at Uganda news, Adam?
Because the headline is eye catching. But it seems that it's all very like districts, like if you're from a certain district, it's like the whole community is involved in your dealings, political and social and all of this. It's like, what happened? Oh, I married someone from the other district, to give them a cow. Oh, yeah, right. That sounds fair.
But obviously, the husband's dead as well. So, like, I'm trying to find a part in the story that explains how, you know, like what started from, like, why did he cut her head off? And then what happened to him afterwards? Did the family just come in and go, we're going to get you now? Here we go. Investigation by this newspaper now suggests that the domestic violence was fueled by the suspicion of infidelity coupled with the property wrangle and loss of trust. No sooner had the couple given birth to their firstborn than domestic misunderstandings cropped up. That was 23 years ago. See, this is what happens, right? It starts off with a nearly empty carton going back into the fridge, and 23 years later, you have to go out and buy some cows. Mr. O'Mara said, Alal was a drunkard who had all along been beating our daughter whenever he returned home. In September, their relationship turned sour, leading to their separation. Things became worse in September last year when he started threatening her that he was going to kill her. Around that time, he said clan leaders decided to separate the couple with the hope that the man would reform and maybe they would be reunited again. But instead, it became more violent and started sending text messages. Violence and text messages? Hold your fucking tea. To his wife's relatives where he was going to kill her. Following the continuous threats to her life, the family then decided to send her to live with her uncle in Kampala. In fairness to Uganda News, this is a very in-depth story. Because usually we get the headline, and then the next paragraph under the headline is, what the fuck else do you want? You have everything.
Yeah, make it up.
The family adds that a security guard at the home was instructed never to allow him into the compound. When he failed to access the home, he again started sending threatening messages to our phones that he was going to kill our daughter if we did not give her back to him. That's a bit of a confusing threat. Give me your daughter. No. If you don't give me your daughter, I'm going to kill her. The first one kind of prevents the second one, no?
It's like you and what army, son? But I'm guessing it could be like a whole clan thing. It's like you fuck with someone from one clan, you're fucking with the whole clan. And taking 8 cows isn't taking it from that family, it's taking it from that community. Like, that is the the milk and the cheese and the beef provider kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
At this point, the security officer went back and brought... Okay, so she was brought back to wherever she came from. The trouble did not come to an end. In August, the husband began using hired assassins.
Jesus Christ.
To follow the victim to their home and blah, 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 blah. Look, there's at least another 1,000 words into this. I'm not going to get fully into it, but all I'm going to say is that if it costs 8 cows as reparations for murdering somebody, how much do you think he paid for, like, a hired assassin?
Oh, no. Like, he must have really pissed him off. Like.
Look, I'm not a physically abusive person, and neither are you. So we don't understand what goes through somebody's mind when all they can think about is getting their hands on this person to cause them pain. I don't understand. I don't understand, like, a vindictive nature. Like you always, like, see videos or crazy stories of, like, you know, cheating exes that have been dumped, and they can't handle the fact that they've been caught out.
Yeah.
And that everyone knows that they're a cheater, or everyone knows whatever. And so they lash out and they go even more crazy.
Yeah.
You know? I don't understand that kind of snap in like the mental thing, you know. But to go from, like, beating her every night, like, for 23 years, like, they were in a relationship, 5 kids, and, you know, like, there's cases that, well, there has been cases where women have been abused relentlessly for years, not just physical abuse, but, like, emotional and mental abuse, and eventually they snap, and they stab them, like, 97 times. And then they smile in the courtroom as the judge says, well, they put up with 23 years of abuse. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get some, like, suspended sentences, a slap on the wrist, and they're sent on their way. So, yeah. I'm just, you know, if 8 cows was the cost for cutting off your wife's head,
mm-hmm.
Do you think the price of beef would go up?
Are you saying if this was applied to Ireland, this kind of clan law, would the price go up? Jeez, I like to think not.
you would like to think not, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think that men are just kind of going, sure, yeah, here, throw the family 8 cows, I want to kill their daughter. It's like, oh, God, it just sounds a bit too easy. Like, especially in this country, like, there's lots of cows, that's a lot of heads rolling.
Because, like, I was having this conversation with Fiona the other day, and like, about serious crimes. Like, is it the punishment or the individual's morals that stops them from committing the crime? So, like, for example, like, a murder sentence in this country, was it, like, 15 or 20 years?
It's a no idea.
I think it's 15 or 20 years in this country's life sentence. So is it the life sentence that's stopping you from killing somebody, or is it your morals going, can't kill a person? What, like, there's no need to kill a person because I'm having a row with them or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, there's no... But what's the, like, it's... The punishment is very rarely the deterrent, is what I'm saying, you know? So... If it was going to cost you, like, if the law was changed here tomorrow, right? So, like, it's like, judges are not allowed to send you to prison for 20 years. Instead, if you kill somebody, all you have to do is give their family some cows. How many people do you think would be, like, murdered within 24 hours? And then how expensive would my burgers become?
It's someone who didn't have cows that would have to, like, buy 8 cows to give to this other family. That would be the...
Yeah.
On a certain level, like, what is it that stops or makes people murder someone? It must be just a thing of, I can't go on knowing that that person is alive. It must be that, or it's either that person has something on me, and I don't want like any risk of them kind of like saying it or getting out, or that person is just bad for the world. And I'm the person that has to take them out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, if you're not much of a murderous rage, have a wink.
I think we talked about this before. Like, whatever kind of like crazy decision you want to have first, crack one out.
Yeah,
and it clears the head, kind of relaxes you.
Yeah,
just kind of go, maybe not so much.
Yeah, maybe sourcing 8 cows. Would not the way to go. Because if I had to give somebody 8 cows, I wouldn't know where to start.
I mean, I know farmers, but...
I'm cosmopolitan, you know. I know a little person and a black person. I don't know any farmers.
Man, you got to get more rural.
I really do. But, yeah. Anyway, there you go. 8 cows to murder your wife. So next time Tina puts the empty milk carton back in, you just start scrolling Done Deal for cows.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to find it.
And if she looks over your shoulder and goes, what are you looking at? Going, well, you know, milk.
Think about milk. Also, the kids are going to have to work at someone else's estate.
But I won't have to put up with you throwing me tea out when I'm not finished with it.
Yeah.
Next story. A man kept calling 911 to report that he was tired.
This guy needs a hug, doesn't he? A
hug and a barber.
By yeah. Hug and a wash.
September 7th, an Indiana man who repeatedly called 911 to inform police operators that he was tired will spend the next 2 months resting up in a county jail. Daniel Schroeder, 61, was arrested Tuesday night at his Evansville home in connection with a quartet of calls. Quartet is four. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so four calls and he's in jail for 2 months?
That's a bit harsh. That's harsh.
Notice straight away we're having more of a reaction to this story than the one about beheading a woman before.
You know, because I think we can relate to this. I can't relate to chopping my wife's head off and having cows to kind of give to the clan down the road. But like being tired, I just kind of need to call someone. I'm so tired. You're under arrest.
Oh no.
I'm so tired. Get in there. Thank you. I'm so tired.
Hang on a minute. Schroeder's calls about his weariness came a day after he pleaded guilty to a prior misuse of the 911 system. In the earlier case, he copped a call to the police to report that he was upset that a female relative was not following his rules.
A judge
ordered Schroeder to serve 6 months in jail, but suspended imposition of the sentence on the condition that he does not call 911 unless it is an actual emergency. Schroeder violated that agreement the following day, prompting prosecutors to file a motion seeking the revocation of his suspended sentence. Schroeder pleaded guilty Wednesday to the most recent unlawful use of 911. He was sentenced to 60 days in county jail for the misdemeanor charge. His sentence in the original case was amended to 60 days behind bars to run concurrently with the other dates. Schroeder's rap sheet includes 4 convictions for driving while intoxicated, as well as convictions for narcotics possession and leaving the scene of an accident. What's just struck me is that he was annoyed at a woman for not following his rules, yet he can't follow any laws.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. So it's like, no, you follow my rules. Yeah, but no. Great, I'm going to go out and I'm going to possess loads of narcotics and drive drunk.
Yeah. You follow the country's rules. Why? Because you go to prison. Oh, I'm just so tired. I'm tired of all this. Can't cope.
I love when people call the emergency number for things that they think are an emergency, or rather, it's usually like a threat to the person that they're dealing with. Like, I've had it a few times over my career in hospitality where, like on a Saturday, like when we were working in that Spanish place, and I had because we never took reservations, but you had like a waiting list that you would work. And you get like groups in and go, hey, there's 12 of us going, can't do 12. I just can't, you know, I'm my waiting list is too long. I just can't do 12. And take 6 of you and 6 of you and go somewhere else. That's pretty much all I can do for you.
Yeah.
And then they start thinking, I'm going to call the police because you're refusing me because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, no, I'm refusing because I don't have the seats. And then the phone gets taken out, and it's 999. Hello? Yeah, I'm being harassed by this man in a restaurant.
Oh, like, crap.
No, you're being refused service because I don't have the seats to put your fucking arses into.
Oh, God.
Or there's a famous one where there's a woman at a drive-thru, a McDonald's drive-thru, and she calls 911 because she asked for no pickles and they keep putting pickles on her burger.
They're trying to kill me. Are you allergic? No, I just don't like them. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And the call starts with 911. What's your emergency? And instead of just blurting it straight out to get straight to the point and going, there's pickles on my burger, just to get the whole backstory in order to get, you know, some sort of sympathy out of the 911 operator.
Yeah.
So she goes, I'm here every day and I'm one of the best customers and all I want is no pickles in my burger, and yet every time I order it, I get pickles on my burger. And then the operator's like, what's the emergency? She's like, they keep putting pickles in my burger. Like, can you not take them off? But I keep asking for them not to be there in the first place. So obviously they're not making my burger. They're just giving me a burger that's there already. I'm like, it's what they do. Grown up people will just take the pickle off it.
Yeah, I just gotta get your name and age, please.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's such a non-problem that McDonald's actually made a whole advertising campaign out of it, where like a dude goes into McDonald's, orders a burger, takes off the top bun, peels the pickles off, and then proceeds to eat his burger. And the caption says, McDonald's, reliable and consistent, or something like that. So it's like you know what you're going to get when you go into McDonald's. You know you're going to get pickles and a burger. You know? Well, I can relate to Colin emergency and be like, I'm just tired. I just can't.
I can imagine being like just hitting that moment of just, I'm just so tired. I think if I was like on the phone call to him, I'd probably be asking like are you okay? More of a Samaritan's kind of a thing. I'd say, are you okay? Do you need help? Where are you? What if you start going, oh, I ran out of drugs. I'd be like,
yeah,
okay, mind yourself.
Yeah. It's like, I love seeing the tweet. I don't know which police department it was in America, but the police department puts up saying that we have a brand new drugs lab in our station. So drug dealers, if you want to test the purity of your drugs, bring them into our lab.
There's always
one twat who walk in and go, I got this shipment off my dealer, Spiffy. I want to see if it's potent enough.
I hear it's the shit, son. It should blow your mind. Get that into your testing system there. Okay, so you're just going to wait in that cage. Oh, shit. Did it again.
Imagine they'd be that thick. They'd be there for 6 hours going, man, how long is this taste taking? Should have been done by now.
So, are we done or can I? No? Okay. Let's come back to you. That is incredible stuff. Isn't it? Isn't it, though? Okay. Well, thanks very much. This has been great. You're staying.
Next story. So, the whole ivermectin versus COVID thing, right? Now, I'm not a doctor, as we know, not full time anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not an epidemiologist. Not full time anyway. Not a full time virologist. I'm waiting for my certificate to arrive in the post. So until I get my certificate, I can't comment with any sort of authority on it.
Yeah.
Right. But it was obviously blown up more in people's consciousness when Joe Rogan got COVID. And then he went on Instagram and he was like, the doctors threw everything at it. Like monoclonal antibodies, whatever they are, and drips and vitamins and ivermectin. Now, the press took him out of context and said that he was telling people to go get ivermectin, which he wasn't. He was like, this is what I took. And now I feel better.
Right.
So now they're trying to delegitimize the drug and they're saying it's a horse dewormer and all that kind of stuff, right? Now it is a horse dewormer, but it also has antiviral properties, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I say, I'm not educated on the subject, so that's as far as I'll comment on it. However, there is now a new trend to use ivermectin soaked tampons as a COVID-19 prevention. And it just goes to show how stupid people are. Because remember when Trump asked a question at a press conference, which is, can we look at doing something with, you know, like an internal disinfection of the body?
Yeah.
You know, and I read that as somebody who doesn't understand it but is asking a question, and maybe somebody more educated would understand the question he was asking and then just give him like a simple answer and then be done with it.
Right? See, I get a feeling that he was briefed on it already. If I was the president, I'd kind of go, okay, well, what kind of advances have we made? And they said, oh, well, you know, we use a bunch of our lights in areas and that kind of, like, you know, kills it off, and we have disinfectants that, you know, that we use as a gas, and that kind of, like, just gets into all the nooks and crannies. I'd probably ask those questions not in a public forum. I'd ask them to the doctors, kind of going, because I'm about to go and, like, present this to the nation. But I don't think he does that. And he kind of goes, well, what's that? A light and disinfectant. Cool. Can we drink the disinfectant and put the light up our arses, and that'll get rid of it? And that's when the doctors kind of go, no.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We should have talked about this, like, in the back room, and we could have briefed you, but you went, TV cameras, I've got to go out there.
Yeah, but and I get your point. But my point is, he didn't go and tell the American public, go drink disinfectant, which is what the news reported it as. Trump tells people to drink disinfectant. It wasn't. So it's the same thing here with the Joe Rogan thing. It's like, he's telling people to take horse dewormer. No, he didn't. He said that's what he took.
Okay, I get it.
Anyway. So it's not, you know, it's purposeful misinformation. But anyway, your example there of if you were president, that's what you would do. If I was president, I probably would have done what Trump did. And be like, so can we run people through a car wash? Is that a thing we can do? Anyone?
But you would have done that in the room, in the back room before, like.
No, I probably would have done it in front of the microphone with all the cameras
watching. Oh, God. And you know what? I'd be the guy just at the wall going, oh, no, no. I told you this, it's in the notes. I told you to read them. So can we just, like,
You didn't bullet point the notes, you put numbers on them. And you know how I am with numbers.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're all prime numbers. Which one do I do first? One. Start with one. Oh, well, the first prime number.
Can prime numbers fight COVID? Because 19 is a prime number. So do we fight prime with prime? That's what I'm saying.
You think, like, Optimus Prime? Ooh, do we have him? Ooh, can we get him?
Ooh, can we get him? Can we get him in the Situation Room? In the Oval Office?
Stat.
Like 200 milligrams of Optimus Prime.
Yeah. I need DEFCON. What's it called to? Yeah, I need the highest DEFCON. Because we are stat. Like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
God bless South America. Okay. There we go.
Okay, putting tampons soaked in a liquid solution that includes ivermectin into vaginas is an effective and safe step to fight COVID-19. Now, what's wrong with this is that I've read that out verbatim as it appears on the website of Snopes.com. They have it as a headline, but it's the word claim is written in small writing above it. So it's like, the claim is,
yeah.
But they've written it as a headline. You know,
well, it's a sub-headline, I think you'll find.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, sub headline. But it, like, when you scroll down under the picture, it's the first piece of text you see.
Yeah.
So if you're the kind of person, not necessarily like me, but if you're the kind of person who just looks at headlines and pictures and then scrolls a bit and goes, I have the gist of it, and then you move on, you now think that a tampon soaked in a liquid solution that includes ivermectin is inserted into vaginas is an effective way to stop COVID-19. And what do I do as a man with no vagina?
Yeah, that's a bit of sex, isn't it? Can I just, like, swallow the tampon? Can I just, like, place it in my throat or stick it up my nose? But, like, underneath it, directly, it just says false.
Yeah.
You kind of hope that if you're going to read that far, just read the big red sign, big black writing that says false.
Yeah. but also, like, the way this particular site, I don't know, I can't see what you have on the screen. Have you got the story up?
I do.
So you scroll, at the top you have your, it's all ads, by the way, Snopes, it's all ads. Yeah. So you got the ad at the top, then you've got your headline, then you've got the picture of, what is it a video or a screenshot?
I think it's a video, yeah.
And then you scroll under that and it's another ad. And then you scroll under that and it's claim putting tampon soaked and blah, blah, blah is the fight against COVID-19. Under that rating that's false, just looks like another ad.
Yeah.
You know, because everything is white and red on this website, so everything just looks like, if it's not writing, it's an ad.
Oh, okay, I get you.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that's purposefully done in order to kind of generate more misleading information and generate clicks. The story goes on. In mid-September 2021, Snopes became aware of the above-displayed tweet reportedly showing a Facebook thread where users discussed soaking tampons with anti-parasitic drug ivermectin, the medication that people against COVID-19 vaccinations have falsely promoted as a miracle solution for preventing and treating disease. The alleged discussion included back and forth between two Facebook users, we'll call them A and B, in which A claimed to have put a tampon soaked in liquid version of ivermectin and water into her vagina. The purported conversation went like this. A, I have a lot of stomach issues and the pace was horrible for me even when I took a microbes. A friend of mine from college who is a nurse. It's always like people on Facebook always, a friend of mine or a cousin of mine. It's never me. A friend of mine from college who is a nurse now gave me a really good recommendation that has not had horrible side effects. She suggested mixing the liquid injectable with 50% water and soaking a tampon in the plastic applicator in it and inserting it in for an hour or two. Kind of like how we all did when we were in college with vodka, so our breath wouldn't smell. What the fuck? There's a lot to unpack in that paragraph.
Yeah. I don't think this person's a nurse.
Women drinking vodka through their vaginas so their breath wouldn't smell. Anyways, I don't have any of the stomach side effects or diarrhea doing it this way. You're putting it into the wrong hole to get diarrhea, love. Yeah. I've been exposed many times at work, never once tested positive or had a symptom. B said, I'm not sure this would work for us men in the group for obvious reasons. No place to put a tampon. But thanks for the suggestion for the women here. And A said, well, there is a place, but I definitely would not recommend it for a man. I remember a guy doing this in college with alcohol, and removal was a pain in the ass. Look.
I think this girl just spent her time getting fucked drunk in college.
A nurse. It's always, this is the equivalent of a tabloid newspaper going, a source close to the situation has suggested. It's like, you can't say, a friend of mine from college who is a nurse, right? Tag your friend, right? Fucking Sophie Snopes, whatever her fucking name is. Tag Sophie Snopes in the thing and go, right. And then give that person the opportunity to come in and go, no, you're full of shit, or just untag me. We haven't been friends at all ever. But it's not. It's always a friend of mine from college who is a nurse. I don't think there's any working nurses who are going to tell you, yeah, take some of that ivermectin paste and mix it into a liquid with some water, soak a tampon in it, stick it in, and Bob's your uncle. Now you know COVID.
Well,
I kind of think that if that was the case, that it would be readily said to people. You know, it's going to sound weird, guys, but all you got to do is get a tampon and some of this paste. Or, you know what, go into a chemist and the chemist will mix the solution for you or sell you some pre-mixed solution and so on tampon and away you go and have COVID. You know, I imagine if it was that easy, it would just be given to us.
Yeah.
You know. But, the story goes on. It's true that ivermectin can be taken in various forms, including liquids, to treat parasites in animals, for example. Veterinarians can prescribe a poron solution. There are also injectables and oral pastes. According to the FDA, under no circumstances however should humans use those animal formulations. So yeah, like you don't go into a vet's and get the vet formula for the drug, you know. Mm-hmm. Like ivermectin has properties of, you know, antiviral things from what I know.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, so it's not the horse paste, it's not the horse dewormer that you're taking. It's a version of it that's been engineered, conditioned to be used in humans.
Yeah.
Right? And it's on a lot of lists for being an approved medication, not just for COVID, but for so many different parasitic diseases and viruses. And the guy that invented it got a Nobel Prize for inventing it. You know, it's safe in humans as well as animals. But, you know, you don't just go in, like you wouldn't go into a vet and go, I like my regular toothpaste. Well, can I have some of that stuff that you use for sheep?
Sheep worm?
It's not going to be the same thing. Do you know what I mean? So, like, this is, that's why I said it goes back to Donald Trump, you know, asking it again. And you're right. He shouldn't have asked that question in front of everybody. But that's, on the face, that's all he did. He was like, can we do something like that? Is that something we're looking into? Because he didn't understand the question he was asking. But a more educated person maybe should have stepped in and went, I see what you're asking. Well, it can't be done.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, the media took that as Donald Trump tells people to drink disinfectant. And it's like, no, he didn't, though. He didn't, you know. Now, on the other side of that, you understand that, you know, a lot of people will say, well, the vast majority of his supporters are thick and will just read into anything he says in the wrong way. But, you know, those people, natural selection will take them out anyway. So, that said, nearly every medical institution says people should not self-medicate with ivermectin. Don't self-treat with pretty much anything, I wouldn't so suggest. Yeah. Regardless of how they plan to take the drugs. There is no scientific evidence that ivermectin in any form prevents or cures COVID-19, and by taking it, people risk serious medical effects, including nausea, vomiting, seizures, and even death. That paragraph, I'd say, would be under debate by some people. But again, I'm not a full time medical person, so what do I know? I don't know shit.
Aw, that's not fair.
I'll tell you what I do know.
Yes.
Is don't put anything soaked in alcohol or drugs in a tampon in your vagina.
I'll go with that. Even not as a woman, I'd still advise that.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember those old body form ads where they're rollerblading and they're jet skiing and they're horse riding and then the big power 90s ballad behind them?
Yeah.
At no point did one of them, you know, dunk their tampon like a tea bag into a bottle of fucking Smirnoff and then go, I'm going to college now and be pissed because they won't be able to smell it at me.
Whacking vagina.
Anyway, that's my stories.
That's good stuff.
Sorry, give 1 second. I just had to, because my laptop plug is down here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here.
I asked that. You're getting the cardboard cut out.
Well, just get my plug because I don't want it to die. Here we go. Okay. So,
lovely. Sorry, so about that. We've heard you use the phrase "eat a bag of dicks"
frequently.
Yeah. Well, people, I think in Australia are kind of making that happen. Ooh. So people are raising money to send a huge bag of dicks to Craig Kelly.
Okay? Who's Craig Kelly?
Craig Kelly is an Australian MP, and he's sending messages out to just citizens of Australia saying, oh, well, it looks like, you know, the country's kind of fucked, and don't vote green, and don't vote for this party, don't vote for that party. But you can't opt out of receiving these messages. So it's kind of harassing Australian citizens. So this group are saying, well, I know what we'll do. We'll raise some money just by a lot of, like, rubber dicks and send it to him. So our group is trying to raise money to send a massive bag of dicks to the office of Australian MP Craig Kelly. Mr. Kelly has come under fire recently for sending unsolicited text messages to Aussies that essentially slag off political competition. You can never trust Liberals, Labour or Greens again, the message state. The texts are officially sent from the United Australian Party, but are authorised by Kelly, who is now a member of the UAP after defecting from the Liberal Party. It's caused quite a stir, and people aren't taking kindly to being bombarded with political messages that seem a bit dodgy. But one group want to send the MP, and they want to send him a message, however, it's not in the form of a text. So I have a picture there. You can't see the picture though, no, can you?
No.
No, it's someone's couch, and it's just full of just rubber dicks and dildos.
Like, there's a few things that I bring up. First of all, I love the idea of sending a big bag of dicks to a politician. what I'll say in kind of opposite to that is, this weekend there was a thing on Reddit where our own Deputy Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar,
yes,
had protests outside his home in Dublin.
Yes.
Now, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's kosher, right? You protest his constituency office, protest the Dáil, protest an event he's going to be at in a public place.
Yeah.
I think somebody's home should be their home. Right. Yeah. Regardless of what you think, right? Regardless of what policies you agree with or what policies you don't agree with, what you think of him as a man or whatever. I question some of his decisions. I don't think he's a trustworthy person, but your home is your home.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think, and there was, like, the picture showed to be about 30 people outside his home, which is 30 people too many. Right. That's the guy's home. You know, as I say, go to his constituency, you know, protest there. You know, you should, like, somebody shouldn't feel unsafe in their own home. But also, I'm just listening to that as, like, an Irish and European citizen going, how is he getting the phone numbers of these people? Like, how, like, is he just like buying, like, a text package from, like, his phone provider and going just, like, from, you know, from 0001 to 9999 of phone numbers, just send out this text? Or is he getting people's actual phone numbers from registered voters? Because you have data protection and GDPR here and in the EU. So I'm thinking, yeah, you wouldn't get away. Plus, there's regulations here, like there's telecommunications regulations that wouldn't let you get away with that either way.
Yeah, it does. So it's all dodgy. What the Australian citizens are very aware that it's like, it seems very dodgy, right? One, that the messages are coming in, and two, that you can't, like, stop them. You can't, like, cancel or block this number. They just keep coming in. So you kind of wonder, yeah, like, maybe it is him, but, like, is it just someone who's just kind of like, we'll pick on Craig Kelly and we'll just, like, put him, the name behind this? But apparently it is coming from him. He's kind of saying, yeah, go for it.
You see, people don't like receiving stuff that they didn't ask for. It's why you see, like, you know, you'll be walking around on a walk in the neighborhood, and, you know, you probably have it on, I don't know if you have it on your thing, like, on your letterbox, no junk mail. Because people don't want to receive junk mail.
Yeah.
You know, and back when Apple put U2's album on everybody's phone, even though they didn't ask for it, and people went crazy, they couldn't delete it, just woke up one morning and was like, what the fuck is this? Get out of my phone, don't want you, and you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why haven't people learned that people don't want to receive information or whatever it is unless they ask for it?
I don't know.
You know.
I guess.
So
if it's a way to get a message across, they I'm sure it's under, like, some kind of under a law that it's really just advertising. It's just political advertising. You know, it's a gateway they have that they're just kind of sending out.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is, you don't have to read it. It's like putting a billboard up on a street. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, it's say, like the Wonder Bra ads say, when they're like, oh, it's like, it's the meaning to women or whatever. And it's like, well, mm-hmm, you know, you would take another street home or go around that, yeah, way or whatever. It's like, it's, yeah, always like, well, it's free advertising, you know, it's free billboard. We're just, like, putting a product up. I'm sure it's the same, yeah, thing. We're just sending text messages. You don't have to open it. You don't have to read it.
No, but you're going to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you don't have to do anything, you know, but I like, but you're going to. And I don't understand how they think it's going to get people on their side, you know, by harassing them with text messages. Like, if he's looking for votes and he's looking for support for his party, I get that, because that's what politics is. But, you know, you just don't bombard people with text messages.
But
know, if one citizen did it to another, they'd be charged for harassment. So why can't, you know? I mean, I if I was the Australian public, and I'm not collectively, quite clearly, but if I was, I'd be like, yeah, let's send them the big bag of dicks as a distraction, but also sit them with a class action harassment suit.
Yeah, which is, yeah, why I kind of wonder why that's not the main thing.
But it must be different laws, maybe.
And I'm guessing that this guy's thinking, you can stir up that kind of hysteria for your party. The way, going back to Trump, but the way he kind of, you know, he picks a good phrase, he puts everyone else around him down, like all the kind of competition with, mm-hmm, the media, and puts them down and says that they're wrong and that he's right. And you find people that just kind of go, yeah, yeah, totally makes sense. I understand every word you're saying, because they're from the Alan Barry book, Year One.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah,
I hope it's a big bag of big dicks.
Well, the Cockblock Craig Kelly is the name of this group, is trying to raise upwards of $15,000 to send hundreds of dildos to Mr. Kelly's office as a big middle finger to the politician. They've written on their fundraising site, millions of Australians have gotten nuisance texts from Craig Kelly and Clive Palmer's United Australian Party, but can't opt out. we can't stop the UAP texting with us with dangerous misinformation, we reckon the next best thing is to deliver Craig a message he can't ignore. A very big bag of dicks.
I'm all for that.
If you raise 15,000, we can deliver 1,000 dicks to Craig and donate the cost of immunizing around 1,000 people. If for some reason we can't deliver all the dicks we'd like to Craig, we'll make sure any unused funds go towards immunizing people in developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. I mean, politics should stay out of politics. If you know what I mean by that. Like, if you're going to be a politician, it should be, because they all say, oh, we're going to serve the people. No, you're not. What you're doing is you're giving yourself a cushy government job so you can qualify for a pension and then never have to work again. If you can get your pockets lined on the way, then you can do that as well. You're not for the people. Like, if a law needs to be made, then, you know, they should be like heads of departments. I know that's what ministers are, right? So I'm not saying I don't want to broadcast my misunderstanding of how politics works. Right? But like, if a minister is looking after a department, right? And even then, he probably doesn't even do it because he has department heads under him who actually run the department, because in between elections, and if there's ever like a hung government or, you know, a disbanded parliament or, you know, the country still runs by the people who actually run the country.
Yeah.
So it's like, so why don't we just let them do it? And then if they need to change the law, they say to the public, hey, go on this thing here. You have to log in with your government ID, which we all have.
Yeah.
Log with your government ID and vote for the law. Do you want to vote for it? Or do you not want to vote for it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to vote for or against it? And then the laws are changed or amendments are made, you know. But it's always, no, we got to save these things up for a referendum, and then we're going to confuse people with three things on the ballot, but we're only really going to talk about one of them.
Yeah. That's a very annoying thing. We just kind of go, oh, you vote for that, you vote for that. And it's like, there's a big thing, campaign, takes over the news, takes over the posters, and then there's another question at the end. It's like, and what do you think of this? And that's kind of important, isn't it? Yes or no? I don't know anything about this. I don't remember anything in the leaflets or nothing. Yeah. So, yeah, that has happened. Now, it's saying that...
Go on.
Is it that new laws are expected to be proposed next month to stop political parties from being able to spam millions of Australian phones without a limit?
There you go. That's what's needed.
There you go.
Like, I remember years ago, there was a local councillor knocked on the door. Hi, I wonder if I can count on your vote. And I said, no. And he was like, oh, why? I said, because the whole time I've been in Navan, you've been campaigning to get the local train station reopened again, just to get the local train line opened up again.
Yeah.
And that's what you're running again on this time. So if you haven't gotten it done the last two terms, what's going to make this term any different? And he we're really close. Like, yeah, that's what we said last time. And then he got voted in and still hasn't happened. So tell you what, instead of promising stuff that you can't deliver, why don't you deliver it first, and then I'll vote you based on the merits and the work you've put in.
And he went, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah,
get that on board.
It's pretty much what he said. Thanks very much for your time. Thank you. So obviously my vote doesn't matter after all. You know what I mean? Like, it's a popularity contest, and they're salespeople for their own jobs. That's all they are.
Yeah.
You know. Fucking politicians.
I know. You are. Hey.
No, I come in happy.
Deep breath, deep breath.
I come in happy and stiff. I'm going out all sad and floppy.
What? No, because you know what I got for you? Chocolate.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, where are you?
People are shocked after noticing a hidden image in the Toblerone logo.
Ooh, no, I can't see this because I can't... Can you put it up as your background? Can you do that?
Let me see.
It's great for me to ask you this during a live recording.
Yeah.
So I can figure it out live.
Yeah. You know. Let me see. I'll see if I can actually get a picture of this. And, you know, people have to wait. Because
the only thing, from memory, and it's been quite a while since I've had a Toblerone, but from memory, the triangles, like each triangle has like a letter of the word Toblerone on it.
Yes, but that's not... It's actually on the box.
Oh, I think I might know this, what this is.
Yeah?
Isn't it supposed to look like a mountain, but it's actually a bear or something, isn't it?
There you go. Thank God I don't have a picture. You already see it. So, let's see. You've probably not spent too much time admiring the packaging for Bar Toblerone, having often found yourself tearing the cardboard open and ripping through the foil frenzy, desperate to get to Triangular Swiss Chocolate. But here you have noticed the picture in the logo hidden in plain sight, and before you say, yeah, there's a mountain in the box, no, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
So look a little deeper past your salivating mouth before beyond your dreams of honey prisms of heaven and deep into the mountain. If you can't see it, don't beat yourself up. Turns out seemingly very few have ever noticed it. Indeed, if it weren't for a 9-year-old boy pointing out the picture, many of us would still be in the dark. 20 years of Stephanie shared her son's discovery. So the son said, what's the bear for? What bear? I was today years old and I found out there's a bear in the Toblerone logo. So that's it. Now, I've known this for a few years now.
Yeah, my question is it there for a reason, or is it just because the pattern happens to look like a bear if you colour it in the right way?
No, it's definitely a bear because he represents the honey, I believe.
Okay, so it's a purposeful thing done by Toblerone. Okay,
yeah. It's a definite bear. That's right, there's a fucking bear in the middle of the mountain. Who on earth put that there and when? Just goes to show how obvious we can be to all concerned. Just goes to show how oblivious, there we go, we can be to all the concerns when we're thinking about blessed pointy chocolate. Here's the thingy bear is the symbol of Bern, Switzerland, where the delicious chocolate originates from. There you go.
I always wonder about these logos because I've had a few companies over the years, and I generally just like, if I'm designing it myself, I just design what I think looks cool, you know. But like, if you go to like, if you're a graphic designer and you've studied it, you go into, you know, the meaning of the company and their mission statement and what they want to do and maybe the origins of it and all the history of the company and the startup story and all that kind of stuff. And then you try and get some kind of clever design incorporating all of that along with the name of the company.
Yes.
And I'm all for that. But I wonder who it's for. Do you know what I mean? Because when they designed that logo, back when they designed that logo, there wasn't a press release to go, hey, there's a bear in there. Do you see the bear? Do you see the bear? Yeah. No, we got you because you put a hidden bear in there. They just let it go.
I guess.
It's like if you look at like Amazon's logo. Probably one of the best ones. It's like it's got an arrow going from A to Z because you can get everything from A to Z in Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? And it's curved to look like a smile.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's happy. We're a happy place where you come and you get everything from A to Z. And it's like, oh, that's really kind of clever. But of course, it's Neva Corporation that, you know, abuses staff and such and such.
okay.
But, yeah, I often, like, and every company seems to pride themselves on their logo. And I just wonder who it's for. Like, it's okay to have clever stuff. It's okay to have, you know, it's okay to do whatever. It's your company and you're paying whoever to do for that. That's fine. But I just wonder who it's for.
Well, like, logos that, like, you haven't seen a logo so people can instantly recognize. Like, you take the whole thing of fast food places. Like, kids know fast food. When they see a yellow M, they think McDonald's. If they see a guy with a white beard and a little black tie, they think KFC. It's instant recognizability.
Correct, but that's branding. That's not necessarily a hidden message within the logo.
Well, then the hidden thing is it is for people to kind of cop, and then it's a talking point. It's a water cooler moment, and all of a sudden you're talking about Toblerone, and all of a sudden you go, actually, you know, do you want to talk about Toblerones when I'm on a flight? I think I got a really big Toblerone. I need that myself with some wine.
Yeah. I've done that, and I hate myself for 2 days after.
Fucking love Toblerone.
I know. Do you know, though, that Toblerone has twice as many calories per square mile of chocolate than another type of chocolate? I know.
that's what you're giving me? That's what we're ending that on? Holy shitballs. Well, good news next. On that bombshell. Really? Really? I did not know that, Matthew. That's amazing. I'll write that down.
Well, if we're gonna finish being a prick, I'll tell you why. It's because of all the honey and the nugget and the nuts that are in it. You know, it's not just like if it was like plain Toblerone chocolate without all the other shit in it.
Yes,
it'd be just like chocolate.
Lovely. That's an answer. Not, yeah. Do you know that's like twice as bad for you as other road, what? Like, just mumbling idiots.
You can't even remember what I said to you.
Because it was mumbling gibberish. Do you know the Toblerone? You know, if that hits in the head, it can knock out a fly, and a moth can cause a hurricane in a wind tunnel, even when it's, nausea. That's pretty much what I heard.
Well, that's not what I said. So
may as well be the same thing. Do you ever smell the colour triangle? Yeah. Is it like the number X?
How many syllables are in a giraffe's fart?
I think it's time to head to good news. Here we go.
All right.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
So, good news. Just before we do good news, I'll get into my story in a minute. But I'll say something before it, right?
Yes.
In that, yesterday I went for a drive around some part of the Wicklow Mountains.
Very nice.
In theory, very nice, you know, except the roads are very narrow, and cars these days are inexplicably wide.
Right.
Like a family car used to be, you know, like a Ford Cortina, you know, where it's like you could fit four people into it. Now, there was no safety. There was no crumple zones or safety. You know, I understand why cars are getting bigger. It's all the safety stuff they have to cram in there.
Yeah.
And all the modern extras and all the mod cons they have to fit in order to stay competitive. I get it, right?
Yeah.
But like a family car these days, right? Like, I have a Citroen C4. It's a modest car.
Yeah.
Right? And you have a Toyota Corolla or something. Is it a Toyota or something?
Yeah, Toyota Corolla, yeah.
Yeah. Again, you know, it's a fine family car.
Yeah.
But those same cars, three generations of cars ago, were half the size.
Yeah, because I know my dad had
one. Yeah. So, what I'm saying is that when I went and driving down these horrible country windy roads and trying to get past, because the two giant cars.
Yeah.
And then there's also sheep on the roads.
Yeah.
Right? And then cyclists.
Mm.
Yeah, and then families just walking beside the sheep because they're out for their Sunday fucking stroll, and there's no markings on the road. It's an upgraded dirt track because it's in the mountains. What are they going to do? Are they going to send up the Office of Public Works to tarmac the fucking? No, they're not going to do that.
No.
But what they will do is is kind of level out little patches so that people can park up, so it drives more traffic to the really, really unsafe area.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because on one side, you've got a really big mountain, and then on the other side, you've got a really sharp drop because you're driving on a mountain. You know, you're driving around the Toblerone Bear, is what I'm saying. Right?
Yeah.
So this brings me into my, so it's the sheep everywhere, and the sheep were so used to the cars and the traffic that they were just standing like right on the very edge, just munching the grass. Or if they were walking along, they were keeping single file as the people were, because they knew cars are coming down here.
Yeah.
Right. So this brings me onto my story. Old Irish goats return to County Dublin to protect hills from the wildfires. Now, I have a few problems with this story, even though it's good news.
Don't worry.
Right, even though it's good news, I don't, Melissa Jukin, I'm not pronouncing that name properly, 31, lands a job as a goat herder in conservation effort to save the species and control fires. She beat off stiff competition. Sure she did. to land a high-profile post in Dublin, leading a dream team of diligent, focused workers. They're a very good crew to work with. We gelled very quickly. It just clicks. Brilliant. Some bully the others, and one has a habit of leaping into her arms, but she's okay with that. The 25 strong team is made up of goats and this woman as their herder.
Right? Yeah.
So they're being brought in because a lot of the Irish countryside gets kind of dry in the summer. You know, like they've all the overgrown stuff, and the goats apparently eat whatever's there. They just eat everything. So it prevents them from catching fire in hot weather.
I think she's the first female to do it as well.
Oh, well, I didn't read that far. You obviously read more of the story than I did.
No, I think I remember being on the news.
All right, well, I can't even pronounce her name, so, you know, whatever. Okay. So it's a 45 grand a year job.
Yeah.
Right. Now, to some people, that sounds like an average wage. To other people, I'd be like, well, I can do that for that money. But she's a herder of goats. She's a goat herder. 45 grand a year.
What's involved?
Adam, the picture, she just has a bucket of feed. She doesn't need to do that because they're eating all the grass. justify that salary to me. I just can't.
Because what she has to do is, I'm guessing what that is probably like maybe worm dopes and all that kind of stuff. And once that happens, she has to move them to another field and wait for all that to kind of decompose and go away. She has to make sure that as much as like goats is like 25, sheep and goats just pick up diseases and fucking injuries from bloody everything. So she's like, I'm not convinced. She just has to make sure that they don't die. But I'm guessing like she has to, like they're all tagged, so it's not like they're just wild goats. She has to kind of like move them along from one, like cut the grass kind of thing. She has to keep it going. And I just hear your voice going, Adam, you're talking through your fucking rectum here. All they are goats. I find them everywhere. They just eat the grass and move on.
They're just, I do know sheep and goats are different things, right? So when I say the ones I saw yesterday, I don't mean goats. I mean like livestock.
Yeah.
Right. Sheep and goats are basically the same thing. One has horns, one has wool. They both taste differently, even though they eat the same shit. That's what does baffle me as well.
Right? Yeah.
Is that sheep and goats predominantly eat grass.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if they're farmed animals, then they obviously have other supplementary feeds thrown in there, which is what she's doing with the bucket, I assume. You know, the 45 gram bucket she's carrying around the place.
It's a large mayonnaise pot.
I don't know where I'm going with this. Look.
I think you're obviously just annoyed that this girl has got the cushiest job. And it's like, so, like, it rains every now and again. Big whoop. You just get them out, you make sure they're all right, and you go back home. PlayStation.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like, come on. You know, I didn't see that job advertised anywhere. I feel hard done by. I could have been a goat herder.
So, we have to find out what she does. Like, what I bet she's up at, like, 5 in the morning, and she's humping all the way till 5 in the evening.
No, I'm not buying it. Because she's got, everything is tracked. She could do it. Like the story talks about satellite tracking. So, like, even if she lost them, if she stopped seeing where they were,
yeah,
she still has satellite tracking. She can do this job remotely. She can just leave a trough of the feed in a bucket in the field, and maybe they'll find it. You know what I mean? But they're not like the job. Like, and also, it's going to slow them down from what they're there to do, which is to eat the overgrown, you know, wildfire risk.
Yes.
You know, if you're giving them supplementary feed from a 45 gram bucket, they're going to eat less of the fucking grass that they're there to prevent growing.
Okay.
So really, what you're doing is you're counterproductive and you're costing us fucking money, Melissa. That's what's going on.
Well, that's Matt's good news.
No, it is good news, because wildfires are no fun, and they cause danger, and they cause damage, and they cause you know, financial loss and all that kind of stuff. So I get it, right? I do get it.
But your issue is, with her payment, it's a handy gig, and you should be doing it.
You could have got somebody to do it for half the money, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because it's not like she's herding like a whole like Serengeti full like, you know, thing of goats. She's got fucking 20 of them to look after. Okay. 20 goats, which is basically like looking after one goat, because they all do the same thing. They're like sheep. If one of them goes into the field, the other ones are following. Oh, so really, she's getting paid 44 grand a year to feed a goat.
I think we definitely need a response to this. Any farmers out there, especially if you work with livestock or farmers or herders, is Matt right? Is it actually, like, once you've set up, is it a handy gig? Or is it like a 24/7 you're minding 25 stupid babies who could hop a fence and leap into like traffic and you have to keep an eye on them? Tell us. I want to know, because I think it's a hard gig. I think, and Matt is like, no. She goes to her house. No. She looks at the window and goes, 25. Okay, grand. Yeah, they're grand.
It's satellite tracking. She's probably got an app on her phone. She can just like open the app and go, yeah, they're mostly there.
There's one in the middle of the road for a long time. Let's probably go check him.
Yeah. And she's probably got like wiggle room to like lose one or two of them. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I'll move on. So with 9/11, not so like long ago. Not the original.
20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean like the anniversary.
The original 9/11. There was no other 9/11 before 2001. Yeah. It was just one 9/11.
One 9/11, and then we skip. Steve Buscemi, who used to be a firefighter, is in the news.
Yeah.
He is doing a shoey of Fosters to celebrate Australian firefighters.
He's doing a what of Fosters?
A shoey. So a shoey is when you fill your shoe with beer and drink from it.
Yeah. Okay?
But very, obviously a very Australian thing. But Steve Buscemi
is it, like a, is it like a glass shoe or is it like an actual shoe?
It's just your shoe. Australians don't do glass shoes. You go, here's your shoe, mate. I want to do a shoey. So I want to celebrate you. Steve Buscemi once delivered a fantastic message to celebrate the 110th birthday of the New South Wales Fire Brigade Employees Union. So back in December last year, the Boardwalk Empire star thanked the fireys for everything they've done for the people of New South Wales since 1910 and for keeping them safe during the darkest times. He understands the difference or difficulties tackling infernos as a former New York City firefighter. However, the actor admitted it's nothing compared to dealing with the horror that is Australian bushfire season. So he goes on to say, it's a tough old gig. So I think you deserve the highest praise and the highest pay. So this next part, I wish to deliver directly to your state government. 0.3% pay rise for firefighters. What? Come on, man. Come on, that's crazy. You can at least give them 11% pay rise. Cough it up, all this kind of stuff. And then he whipped off his shoe, pulled out an almighty can of Fosters. Buscemi tipped the golden ale into his black shoe and then took a delicate sip from the brim. Seemingly undeterred from jumping headfirst into the brilliant Aussie act, he said he wanted to up the ante. So it's basically just trying to get proper pay for Australian firefighters, and so he did an Australian little thing of putting Fosters in his shoe and drinking from it.
Do you know what they should do to combat the bushfires? Is hire a very expensive goat herder. Just to go out there and just to eat all the bush.
Lesbians.
Lesbian goats.
I'm all for that.
It's bringing awareness to you know, that's a good news story. I can't really shit on that one.
No.
You know.
But it's amazing we went in the kind of same direction of bushfires.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, it just says old Irish goats return to the countryside when they hadn't left to begin with. You know.
Okay.
I mean, it's also a very long story about fucking goats, Adam.
Yeah, it does go on.
I mean, It's taken me more time to scroll through it than it did to bitch about it.
I don't know.
Anyway. Where can people find us, Adam?
Best way to find us at www.thenewsworld.com for all links to our shows. At the bottom page, you find links to TeePublic, where you'll find our cartoon faces slapped across hoodies and t-shirts and all that kind of fun stuff, badges and bits and bobs. You also find get us at PayPal. If you enjoyed the show, you can throw us a once-off donation, which will keep the show afloat. We really appreciate that. And then you never hear from us again. Or if you really enjoyed the show, you want to keep this going, you want to keep listening, get on to www.patreon.com/newsburp. We will have videos of the show and the show day early and ad-free versions of the show. I don't know how that's working now because we're on YouTube, but Matt's working on that. But everyone gets a shout-out, and shout-outs go out to...
Shout-outs go out to Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldrin, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Bunsen, Sean Ryan, Alexander Henry, and Sarah Beck. I should be able to do that, you know, off the top of my head right now, but...
Now, we'll miss someone, and then it'll just wreck our heads, and someone will go, oh, I'm a Patreon, I didn't get shout-out, and like, ah, we're sorry, but Matt's trying something new.
Well, it's called ketamine. See, it'll wreck your head. I'll miss somebody and go, I'll get them next week.
Ah, no, that's not the point. You won't just shout out. There are fucking Patreons. It's like,
no, I know. That's why I read it out. That's why I don't take the chance and just be like, ah, oh, shout-outs go out to Kevin Fagan, Aaron Edred, Noddy,
Dancer, Prancer, Vixen.
Sleepy. Yeah, Bashful and Duck.
Oh, God.
That's our show. Thanks very much for listening. We're going to have to do a Patreon now. As regards to how we're doing the videos, I don't really know because, full disclosure, we've only got like a month's trial on this software to try and like try it out and see how things are working out. You know?
Yeah.
So if it's working out, we'll keep it going. If not, we'll try something else. But you look, as for now, the videos that we're doing are still private for patrons only. So as soon as we figure out what we're doing after this trial ends, then we'll suss out, we'll suss something out. But that's it. Don't forget patreon.com/newsburp to get your Patreon extra bits. There's loads going on over there. It's like a whole extra show. Sometimes it goes on for like an hour. It's like a whole extra podcast the hour. So. That's what you're into, you know.
We're doing it for
come
you.
Over here, we'll tweak your podcast nips. Be like, ooh, want some of that?
No, easy. This next show is kind of like 50 minutes. We're done. You said it'd be an hour. I said somewhere an hour, okay?
I said somewhere an hour, not this one.
Not this one. We've had a long day.
Because no. We're not full-time podcastologists, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
But we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.